Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the New Testament book of Matthew. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing with our study in the book of Matthew, and I want to go back over some portion of our outline in the rejection of the king. Now, we have already seen the triumphal entry in the last session, so-called triumphal entry. But I want to go back to chapter 16 and the latter part there in chapter 16, verse 21, all the way to chapter 20, in the end of chapter 20. We see that as the rejection of the king. Now, as we gave you the outline as we began the study, we had the first thing that was happening was that Matthew was portraying, and we told you this from the start, as Christ the King, the promised Messiah. And he showed us and has shown us every step of the way. He prepared the way with what we called the coming of the King in Matthew chapter 1 through chapter 2. Then when we switched gears, as it were, we saw the proclamation of the kingdom from the Lord's lips in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, all the way to what I've referred to as Matthew chapter 16, verse 20. And then there in Matthew 16, 21, it picked up with our outline calling it the rejection of the king. And the next portion is the triumph of the king. And the triumph of the king will include his trip to Calvary, his death on the cross, his resurrection. All of that is part of the triumph of the king. But in Matthew, the portion here that we're dealing with at the end of chapter 16 through chapter 20, John 1:11 sums up this portion of Matthew. It tells us that Christ came into his own, and his own received him not. So the kingdom was first presented to its rightful heirs, the Jews, the children of Israel, the Hebrews. But they refused the offer. They refused the king. They rejected the king and crucified him. From Matthew chapter 12 on, there was controversy among the leaders of the Jews about who this Jesus was. Jesus announced that the kingdom should be taken away from the Jews and given to another nation. In Matthew 21:43, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." That announcement offended the rulers, of course, and they sought to lay hands on him, verse 46 of the chapter 21 that we're considering later today. The Lord told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 the requirements for entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever will believe may enjoy its privileges and blessings. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is for Jew and Gentile alike. So why did the Jews refuse the kingdom? Well, think about today. Don't think about 2,000 years ago just now, but think about today. Everybody is looking for something special. They're looking for a golden age. They're looking for 1,000 years of peace. They're looking for all sorts of things that we don't have in this world. They're looking for sustainability. They're looking for economic progress. They're looking for beauty in people and on this earth. They're looking for nothing that would create problems, but everything that would bring joy. Diplomats, rulers, even the common person, think that by their own efforts they can achieve the things that they are seeking. There's no longing for the rule of Christ. There's no longing for a millennium of peace and prosperity that's brought about by the personal return to the earth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Well, now go back to 2,000 years ago, and you get the idea. When John the Baptist had presented Christ, when the Jews were seeking their own golden age, and they wanted to break off the yoke of the Romans, they were wanting to do it themselves, and they were not concerned about the Messiah who had appeared on the scene. Then it becomes personal, doesn't it? Have you received the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ? Have you placed the King, Jesus, on the throne of your own life? Have you accepted the terms of the peace accord that Christ himself offers you? Well, when Christ was there in Caesarea Philippi, up in the north, he was the object of having private conversations with the disciples, and he disclosed great truth there. Only in this gospel, only in Matthew, do we see the church named. The kingdom was rejected, and we find a change in the teachings of Jesus. He began to talk about the church instead of the kingdom. And you can see that in Matthew 16:18. Church comes from the word ecclesia, that means called out ones. Not everyone would believe on Christ, so Christ said he was calling out anyone, Jew or Gentile, to belong to his church, his ecclesia, which is his body. He began to build a new body of people that would include both Jew and Gentile. And when we read the wonderful letter to the Ephesians from the pen of the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we find that especially in Ephesians 2:14-18, that we are one people from both Jew and Gentile. Now, they were far away from the busy scene when he asked his disciples, "Whom do you say, whom do men say, not ye, but whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, that's the same question that should be reverberating in the minds of people today. It was asked by this leader, this teacher, this prophet, in that time of quietness, and yet it's still thundering through the ages. What think ye of Christ? Whom do your friends say that Jesus is? The ideas that we hold about everything on this earth, about industry and wealth and government and morals and religion are used to mold society, to mold people, to mold lives. But the most important question is, what do you think of Christ? So what men and women think of Jesus is the most important question and answer in the world today. It, more than anything, influences life and thought on this planet. Well, of course, we remember that the disciples gave the answers that men were given, but they were varied answers and certainly not true that the people were given at the time. Men's opinions of Christ are usually high opinions. He's an extraordinary person. He was a prophet. He had supernatural abilities. And there are those who have views that are just extreme, like he's a myth or he was an imposter. But those views are usually not very well accepted in modern society where Christianity reigns. Now, it's accepted in other places. So he went from the question of who do people say that I am to who do you say that I am? And that's the question that I would ask you. Who do you say that Jesus the Christ is? He's either God or he's an imposter. Well, Peter gave the answer, and it's the answer that we should know and give. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's Christ the Messiah, the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Hebrew prophets. It's the confession that exalts Christ as the very Son of God and puts Christ above humanity. It crowns him with deity. Now, Christ, remember, answered, upon this rock I will build my church. That's upon the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he's the chief cornerstone of the church. The church was born at Pentecost, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you can look at the birth of the church and see it outlined and detailed for you in Acts chapter 2. Now, during this part of the discussion in Matthew, Christ told his disciples that he would be going to the cross. And he would be facing hatred, and he would be facing the nastiness of the priests and the Pharisees. And he would give himself willingly on the cross at Calvary. But his disciples were not ready to accept it, and it took quite a while. And he gave it to them as they were able to bear it. God often, in his mercy, hides the future from us, at least the specific details, so that we prepare to be ready then to receive the news. I think that's one reason why we have seen such an explosion, if you can use that term properly, of understanding of items in the last times, the last days. And we're starting to have more and more understanding, not more and more revelation, no, but more and more understanding of what has already been given to us in God's Word. So let's continue in Matthew 21. We have seen the eventful time of Christ coming in to Jerusalem, his taking the scourge to the folks that were defiling the temple. We saw where the blind and the lame came to him and he healed them, where the children were crying out in the temple and fulfilling prophecy. And then we began here, and the cursing of the fig tree, that happened immediately there. And we have the promise, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive, there in Matthew 21, verse 22, and we begin reading at verse 23 in this session. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, The first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that you might believe him. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to a husbandman, and then went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir, come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto another husbandman, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the Scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet, or they thought of him as being a prophet. And so it is, Christ is teaching, his authority was challenged, and yet he asked these priests, by what authority did John the Baptist do what he did? And they couldn't tell him because they were afraid of the people. Of course, Christ had them in a corner. If they had said John was from God and his authority was from God, then they would have been guilty of not following God's man and God's leading. and they would have been guilty of not bowing before the Messiah as John did when he presented him. And if they said John was just, you know, of no event and no concern and had no authority from God, then the people would have revolted because they trusted John and they believed in John's message. And so they were stuck. But they were stuck because they were concerned about public opinion and not the truth. Isn't that what gets religious leaders in trouble even today?
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.